truth all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today. We're going to have a high time in the Word again here today. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to hear the end of this sermon, which was preached at our church by my good friend, Minister Ralph Williams. And it was a 53-minute sermon, so we're able to get three broadcasts out of this, and enables me to catch my breath a little bit here. And we'll be back again with a new program here tomorrow. But hey, in the meantime, let's get into this word we're going to have here for today. Minister Ralph will be preaching out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. He'll be in 2 Peter as well. And we had a full house on Sunday, and it was a fantastic sermon. And it was so nice for me to be on the receiving end, to be able to sit down with my Bible open and hear the Word of God preached. And I love it. And it was very nice for me to be able to take a week off and to be able to sit with everyone else and sit under the authority of the Word of God. And I just love it. And I'm so grateful to Pastor and Minister Ralph for bringing such an excellent word. And you know it because you're hearing it here on the radio. This is going to be the end of it. If you'd like a copy of it, there's a variety of different ways to do it. Email me, paul@wgodradio.com. Download the app. It's free download, WGOD Radio. You'll find a link on there under, I forget what that is, miscellaneous or some other Bible studies or whatever. You'll find it on there. You can't miss it. You also can watch the video of it by going to Island Community Church Facebook page. Last Sunday, as well as every Sunday's service, is uploaded on there. You can worship along with us with the music. You can make a tithe or a gift or an offering along with us too. You can do that on the app. Certainly would be greatly appreciated. And you can sit under the Word of God as well too. All that by going to our Facebook page, Island Community Church, is where you can see that. So, okay, without further ado, let's hear the last part of this message from Minister Ralph Williams.
And I can't link arms with folk that don't worship, not the same way I do, but don't worship my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And by the way, guys, all my brothers and sisters that are here, we will be in heaven together. And sadly, I have an earthly brother and some earthly family members that if they don't get right when I leave here, I will never see them again, because they're going somewhere else. They're going to hell. And listen, I don't say it because of how they're acting. I say it because of what's in their heart and the fact that they're rejecting Jesus Christ. But I thank God that he opened my eyes, and you ought to thank God that he opened your eyes, because it's by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Amen. Verse 5, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, he tells Timothy, from such stay away. He says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive, he says here, silly women in the King James. And he's just talking about gullible women that are out there in the world. And he said, laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. In other words, they're walking and living in a way that's not suitable for one who knows the Lord. And they're out of God's ark of safety, and they also want to do better. But they're gullible. And there are these false teachers that have an eyeball for them, and they can see them a mile away and are just waiting to prey on these who want to do right, but in of themselves don't know how to do right. He says in verse 6, for of the sort of those that creep into houses and lead captive women, captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. And he talks about these guys, he says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, guys, they look good, they sound good, and listen, we'll have that great big reverend on the front of their name, and listen, wearing the finest of clothes and carrying the biggest Bible, and we'll get in the proximity of these young ladies, and they'll say, finally, I can follow him, and I think I'll be okay. But folk, anybody that's following a man is already messed up. You ought to be following the God-man, Christ Jesus. Because the time is going to come when I'm going to keel over. The time is going to come when Pastor Paul is going to keel over. And listen, when he decreases, you don't stop worshiping God. You keep following Jesus Christ. And folk who are following men, in particular these gullible women, who think that they found the answer, will realize that they only found trouble. Because these guys who can't come to the understanding of the knowledge of the truth, because these truths are spiritually discerned and they don't have God's spirit, and they're working out of their flesh. And God's going to take care of them as well. So we don't have to worry about that. But he's saying that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Guys, I would ask that you mark your page there, please, and go with me to 2 Peter. Chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and zero in on verse 19, if you would. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And here in this section of scripture, we know Peter's writing, and he was telling the truth about Christ and how he was there with John and with James, and they saw Christ transfigured. It was at the Mount Transfiguration. And at that point, Peter, as always, will always be the first one to speak. And he said, Lord, it's good that we be here. And they also had the entrance of Moses and Elijah. And he said, we should build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. And a voice came from heaven and said, no, here, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And what God was saying, that voice, and it came from heaven, is that there is only one, hallelujah, that will get God's glory, that we don't put Moses, Elijah, or nobody else on the same category with Jesus Christ. No three tabernacles, only one. He says in verse 18, in this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were there or were with him in the Holy Mount. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day's dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. And of course, talking about Jesus Christ. And by the way, I don't care what anybody else tells you, he is coming back. And he's coming back in force. In verse 20, he says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, I don't take one verse and read it to support my money ministry. It don't work like that. We look through God's word and we see what he's saying. And he said, no private interpretation. In verse 21, he says, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, it says, by the Holy Ghost. He goes on, chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who will privily bring in, look what he says, damnable heresies. In other words, heresies that's going to damn you and end you up in hell. He said, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring, look what he says, upon themselves swift destruction. And I always marvel when I read swift destruction in God's word, because we see sometimes even in our time, there's some false teachers that have been around for a long time. And we wonder when this whole thing is going to fall or the bottom is going to drop out. And look, when the Bible says swift destruction, he's talking about when God decides to come. And by the way, they're on grace. That's why they're still here. But when God decides to come, he's going to come swiftly and completely. and they will wish they were never born in this world. He goes on in verse 12 of verse 2. He says, and many, and this is the sad part. He's talking about these false teachers. And he says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And he's talking about their sinful ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. In other words, he's gravitating toward emotions, and there are a lot of folk that like to deal in emotions, and I love the way he sings. I like how he talks. I like how he looks, and he makes me feel good, and I'm going to follow that guy because he doesn't come with a whole lot of things that telling me what I can't do. He just tells me I'm blessed of God, and do this, and I'll get this, or go here, and I'll get this, and I don't want to hear nothing about what I'm not supposed to do. I want to hear positive messages, and folk will follow this guy all the way to hell because he appeals to the flesh. And folk many times want their flesh to be edified. He says in verse 3, still talking about these false teachers, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, in other words, unsincere or deceptive words, make merchandise of you. And I'm going to pause there for a second. When you go in 7-Eleven or Wildwood or Wawa, you go to buy something, and it's merchandise, correct? And you buy it. Maybe it's a sandwich or maybe it's a drink or whatever it is. And then what do you do with it? You eat it or you drink it. And when it's all gone, what do? You throw away the wrappings. And listen, what he's saying is that he'll grab a hold of folk that when he wants them to follow him, and they'll follow him hook, line, and sinker, and make merchandise of them and take everything that they got. And when he's done with them, he will literally throw them away, cast them aside, and go get some more merchandise that he can use. And listen, that's what Peter's talking about here. He said that they will make merchandise of you. It says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, God sees them, and he's going to do what needs to be done when he says it needs to be done. And he goes on and gives us some examples here, guys. In verse 4, it says, for if God spared the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved under judgment. And I'm not going to go into that, but there were some demons right before the flood that went even past the sinfulness that God allowed, and he chained them then. If you want to know more about it, turn to go to Genesis 6 when you have a moment. In verse 5, he says, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And again, he's going and showing us God's track record that he's going to deal with folk. And we know that during Noah's time, and he said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I don't know exactly what he preached because surely I wasn't there. But one thing I know was part of his sermon is that he was telling folk that they need to get right because it's going to rain. And listen, I love the fact that that same water that flooded the world and did away with all those folk was the same water that floated that ark that God had him to build and took them to safety. By the way, God has no problem with double dipping, using his elements to show his wrath and, hallelujah, to show us his mercy. Amen. Amen. He says in verse 6, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them, he says, with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live godly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And by the way, in Numbers verse 8, he says, for the right that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And I read that and I think about our time even now. Guys, I need to look at the news and I need to read the news, not all the time, but I need to know what's going on in the world.
But I got to be honest with you. When I read and I see and I talk to people and I see how sinful, how sin has gotten increasingly sinful, it vexes my heart as well. Now, Lot chose to live in that area, and in reality, he was hoping that if he was there, I don't know what he was thinking. But what I know is that in our time with the stuff and the sin and the mess that I see going on all around me, and listen, it's not way out there anymore. It's right here in my own neighborhood. It vexes my very soul, and it hurts. And listen, I see leaders that are going the way of the world. Look, they were always worldly, but now they're going to the max in regard to their ungodliness. And it hurts my heart, and it vexes my soul. And I got to be honest, with almost every minister and preacher that I speak with, that they all are conferring the same message. That it can't be too much longer. And listen, nobody's dating nothing. God, only God knows. But man, sin is encroaching at an alarming rate, and it's getting so wicked that it's even hard sometimes to breathe. And every day is something new coming down the pike. And I say with everything coming down the pike, and what it ought to be doing, it should be drawing the believer closer to the Lord and not getting involved in worldly things. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think you got enough time. And if you were ever going to be involved in the works of the Lord, now would be the time. Because fooling around with frivolous stuff and stuff that really don't really matter. But how you going to be when our Lord comes back here to take us out of here? That does matter. I wasn't going to say this, but Lord has it on my heart.
It would be a crying shame for when the Lord comes back to pull his church out of here. That some folk who are walking in a way that's not pleasing in God's sight and are living in a way that's not pleasing in God's sight and were saying in their hearts or in their, at least with their mouth, that they love the Lord, and the Lord takes his church out and they're still standing here on this earth because they really had not made Jesus Christ their true Lord and Savior. And at that day, the only word I could think that they would say when they see the saints going up and they're still here on this earth is, uh-oh, I messed up. We don't want it to be us. You don't want it to be you. Make sure in your heart of hearts that you're not simply saying, you know, Jesus is Lord, that you know that he's Lord for you. Amen. He says, for that righteous man, verse 8, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vex his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deed. In verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Again, if you're his, act like you're his. Live like you're his. And make sure that you're his. So there won't be no uh-ohs when he cracks the sky. Amen? Amen. If you would, turn back to 2 Timothy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy, look at verse 6. And he says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also, he says, resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, and look at the word he uses here, reprobate, concerning the faith. And listen, he's talking about reprobate. He's saying they went so far that they're too faulty to fix, that there's no coming back.
And by the way, he mentions these Jambres. He mentions these two, and he's saying they resisted Moses. And we know that when Moses was delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, that they were duplicating his miracles, but they were doing trickery. And then finally, Moses threw his staff down. It turned to a snake. They had one. They threw it down, and Moses' staff ate theirs. And all those plagues that God was bringing on Egypt, they could not duplicate or fix. He says, but they shall proceed, verse 9, no further, for their folly shall be manifest. In other words, shown for what it is unto all men, as theirs was also. But he goes on, and he encourages Timothy in verse 10. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions, he says, I endured, but out of them all, look what he says, the Lord delivered me. And he goes on, and look, what we know is Paul went through something. They had stoned him and left him for dead, and God raised him back up. He kept on ministering. But guys, understand, this book is his last will and testament. He wrote nothing else when he came out of here. And in fact, when this was over, when this letter was delivered, shortly afterward, he was martyred for the faith. And even that is a deliverance, that when we leave this earth and go to be with Christ in the sky, that's the ultimate deliverance for the believer. And he says in verse 12, and this is one maybe you don't want to hear, he says, yea, and all that live or will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And listen, it's all part of the giftedness that he's given you in regard to being a Christian. They hate God. They hate Jesus. And guess what? They're going to hate you as well. In verse 13, he says, but evil men and the seducers shall work worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, guys, unless God gets a hold of somebody, and by the way, he said they're reprobate. They ain't coming back. And so they're not getting better. They're just going to get worse. He says, but continue thou, verse 14, in the things which thou hast learned and has assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And look, Paul was given the instruction, but the Holy Spirit is the one that truly gave the enlightenment and the understanding. And he says, and from a child, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he hits us with a truth that we all ought to memorize. He says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. In other words, it works, guys. He says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. And he's not talking about sinless perfection, but he's talking about mature and maturing. It says, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, as opposed to evil works. And he's saying, in a nutshell, that this book, these 66 books, that they work, and any issue of life that comes up, that is addressed in this book. And if you want to know something, nothing wrong with asking your pastor. Nothing wrong with asking your ministers. Nothing wrong with asking your deacons. But if they tell you and direct you to his word, then you need to get in God's word and hear and listen what God has to say on a matter. Amen? Amen. Guys, my prayer is that we all are living this life in a way that's pleasing in God's sight. And if we are not, Pastor Esposito might not know, I might not know, your neighbors might not know, but God knows, and he will deal with you accordingly. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1 right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
I'm